The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Along with Michael Coleman, who's an expert in the non-for-profit business. He's been doing it for years and years and years. I'm Tony Curry. This is a show called Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. Go to Spotify. That's a great mission right there. And search Tony Curry Radio, Curry with a K. Pull up Mission Minded with Michael Coleman. There are probably several podcasts called Mission Minded. So make sure you check out Tony Curry Radio, and you can hear all the shows we've done right here on Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, you hear the show live every single Wednesday twice right here on Tony Curry Radio. Michael, how you been, man? How's summer going so far?
It's going really well. It's not too hot yet, but it's getting there.
I hear you, brother. You sent me a very interesting article about the sensitive strivers. These are people that are perceptually very, very smart. They're very good at what they do, but sometimes they get bogged down by overthinking the process and not acting when they need to. And I want to get into that article in just a few minutes. But I did have a couple email questions here. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net. Become a bonehead. Leave your email questions, or you can do that through Spotify as well at Tony Curry Radio. And we'll read your email questions. Can I read a couple of these to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. John in Oxford is starting a non-for-profit, and he has been told over and over and over again what his elevator speech is. You know what an elevator speech is?
I do very well.
Can you give out your entire spiel in 2 minutes or less? Tell me how important that is, and is it something you need to practice? What's the deal?
Well, I'll tell you, it's. I have not heard 2 minutes. I've heard 30 seconds, because where that comes from is if you get on the ground floor, you're just sitting there. The picture is you get on the ground floor, and you're going to go up to the eighth floor. You know, the elevator may stop once, but you got about 30 seconds. And if you're getting on the elevator and somebody says, well, what do? Well, they're going to get off on their floor. So you got about 30 seconds to be able to capture their imagination. So what you want to be able to do is concisely wrap up your entire purpose, if you will, in a way that's compelling, in a way that what you want is that by the end of that, somebody says, hey, I'd like to know more about that. So you want to be able to do it in such a way that touches on impact and the difference that you're making. That's the heart of it, is you don't have to worry about getting into any sort of nitty-gritty details, but just in an elevator speech, you want to be able to establish the impact and the difference that you're making in your community.
And so, and obviously I've been around people that are incredibly passionate that I didn't. And as a matter of fact, I was at a ball game this past week, and a guy saw me from two sections over. He came over, he introduced himself, and he said, are you Tony Curry? I said, yes. And man, he just started in on this radio show that he was doing on National Public Radio. And I mean, he had an elevator speech, and it kind of, and this dude was like 24 years old, and it kind of took me aback a little bit. I was like, wow, this kid is really, really passionate about what he's doing. And I was really surprised. And quite frankly, his idea wasn't that good. It was a big band show, and I'm thinking, who wants to listen to big band? But he was so passionate about it. What is that something that you practice in front of a mirror? Is it something just based off of, because you've always talked about people that there are some people that have great ideas, but they don't put them verbally in front of a group of people very, very well. Something you practice? How do you go about that?
Yeah, well, it dawned on me before I ever heard the term elevator speech, and a lot of the stuff I learned in the nonprofit world was not stuff that you later hear, like, hey, you need to develop an elevator speech. It's just things I learned doing it. And I remember very distinctly getting on an elevator with somebody, and they said, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, this was back when I ran Hope Inspired Ministries, and we were a job training program. And I kind of started the event. Well, I've come together. I want to help people who are struggling with employment. By the time I got partly into it, I didn't even get to the core of what we did. She was getting off the elevator.
Yeah.
I mean, that literally happened. And so I was like, you know what? I'm never going to get another chance probably to connect with that person. So I said, what is the core of what I do? And so really, and that went into making sure I'd sharpen my mission statement and my vision statement. And so basically, when somebody says, what do you do? I said, I started a nonprofit that trains people who have barriers to employment, people in poverty, who have barriers to employment, how to obtain and maintain employment so that they can elevate themselves out of poverty.
That's good.
And so, you know, I can say that in 10 or 15 seconds and people get it. Oh, okay. You're helping people who can't get a job or either can't hold on to a job, be able to overcome whatever those barriers. So you don't have to get into describing what the barriers are. That comes if somebody's interested. And I've had people, of course, it doesn't have to literally be on the elevator, but just when you're passing or standing in line somewhere, I've had people hand me their cards and go, well, hey, call me up, follow up with me, and I'd like to hear more about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want to capture them because capture their imagination and capture their interest to where you're not chasing them down, but they're like, no, that's something that really appeals to me. I'd like to know more about that. And those are the kind of people that you bring in that ultimately become donors, that can become board members, that can become volunteers, advisors, are just community supporters who just speak well about that. Somebody, once they grasp what you do, then they go out in the community and they tell others, oh, I ran into this guy who's doing this kind of program. It's really neat. And you want as many of those, you want to create a buzz and get as many of those people involved as you can.
Isn't your elevator speech just a little bit longer mission statement?
Yeah, it can. I mean, in a nutshell, if the mission statement is done well, the problem is I've seen so many mission statements that run on and on and on. If you have a concise, sharp mission statement, then yeah, in essence, you could just share that maybe with an add-on or two. Okay. But the problem is that so many people they have so much information. And then they try to regurgitate all that information and you overwhelm people. You don't, if I started talking to somebody, as soon as we came on, I said, we do this and we do this and we do this. And by the time they get off, that's too much information for them to process because they've got their own business on their minds. So short, simple, to the point. And if it appeals to them, then they will usually either give you a card or say, hey, follow up with me. I'd like to hear more about that. And that's how you build your business. That's how you build your build interest in what you're doing and how you build community around what you're doing.
He's Michael Coleman. He's an expert in the non-for-profit business. We also talk about some other business opportunities around here, too. It's a great show. Go to Mission Mitered on Tony Curry Radio on Spotify. And you don't have to pay anything. It's absolutely free. You can go back and listen to all of our previous episodes. And, of course, hear all the new episodes every Wednesday right here at noon and 7. You get first-run shows right here on Tony Curry Radio. One final email question here, and then we'll get into these sensitive strivers. I always talk about how women think too much and men don't think enough. We're going to try to find a happy medium here, not overthinking things, but there's men who overthink too much too in non-for-profits. Claire in Orange Beach is starting a non-for-profit. She says, by the way, she loves the show. She's listened to every episode we've had on Tony Curry Radio on Spotify.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank
she,
you.
She also said, though, that she's starting an organization where there are two other organizations within about 15 or 20 miles of what she's doing, but she believes her organization can do it better. So she's being asked questions like, well, what sets your organization apart? Because there's already two other organizations that do these things. And she doesn't want to look like, you know, these other organizations aren't doing a good job, but she thinks she can do things a little differently. She wanted to know, and I'm paraphrasing her email here, does she specifically need to pick out things that, hey, listen, I do this better than the other two, or are there more needs for this particular service in our area?
Yeah. So, wow. She has really hit on something. And that's lots of times you have to walk down this path before you really experience those kind of things. But I've spent a lot of time struggling with that very problem because, for instance, when I was in Birmingham and we're doing homeless shelter and addiction recovery, there were other people who were doing homeless shelters and addiction recovery. But having understood what their approach was and kind of what the paradigm of that industry was, and then seeing what we did, I knew that we were doing it so much better. But I also didn't want to be that guy who's out there telling people, by the way, we're much better than this organization. Yeah. Because they were still doing good things and I wanted them to be successful. But I also struggled with wanting to highlight the difference. But the truth of the matter is people don't want to see people don't want you to come along and badmouth organizations. They want they want to hear about what's good about yours. But I will tell you what you've got to face sometimes is sometimes I would explain and I said, okay, I'm not going to compare myself to any other organization. I'm just going to tell them about what's exceptional about us. And then they would respond with, oh yeah, that's just like so-and-so's doing.
Yep.
And I wanted to say, no, it's not. And it's not what somebody else is doing. That's my whole point. So you have to navigate that. And lots of times it's on a case by case, person by person. So if somebody, if I'm reflecting back on some of my conversations with people and I'm trying to share with them kind of our approach and they say, oh, it's kind of like so-and-so's doing. Well, if we were sitting down and gazed, like we're drinking coffee, so we had time, then I could say, well, yeah, they do some of the things that we do, but here's what I think we do that's special or that's unique. Another thing she's encountering is, I mentioned this on another show, and she probably remembers it, is somebody came to me asking about starting a nonprofit, and they were asking about starting a mentoring program. And my question was, well, what are you bringing to the table that's different? In other words, one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, does your community need that service? And so only she can understand this, because I don't know what specific industry this is, but she says there's two others doing it, 10, 15 miles away from her. Okay, the question now is, she's got to answer two questions. One is, are the services needed? In other words, she's gonna duplicate this to some degree. So does the community need it? Or is it that she's only doing it because she can do it better?
Yeah.
And so what I would encourage her to think about is, if you have a way that's doing it better, you have to define, well, what is that? Is it better? Is it a greater impact on the community? Can you do it cheaper and make donor dollars stretch more? You know, you have to define what is better. And then I would engage those other organizations to see if they would be willing to partner in some way. In other words, they might be looking for a different way or a better way. And that happens quite a bit. But you also have people who are like, no, this is my kingdom. This is how we do it. If you feel like you do it different, you go somewhere else and do it. So that way, when you're asking people for money, they're like, well, these two organizations are already doing this. Why would I support your organization? And you could then lay out, well, because I feel like we can have a greater impact if we do it this way. And I went and I approached those other organizations. And they didn't want to go down that pathway. So I blazed this trail myself. And then what you have to do is, so you have to explain to people what's different. And then you have to ultimately produce results. Because I went out there telling people, we're fixing to do something different. But actually, the proof is in the pudding. You know, you can only say that for so long. Hey, we're just different. And at some point, they're going to say, okay, prove to me you're different. Prove to me your impact is greater. Prove to me you can do it cheaper. Prove to me you can do it in a way that better serves the community. And when you do that, those results will speak for itself. But you have to at some point go beyond this is better to proving it and showing the community that your approach is right.
He's Michael Coleman. He's an expert in the non-for-profit business. I saw this, it was a great question. I saw this in my business that I've been around for about 3 years. And when I started up a radio station, which 3 years ago was kind of a rarity, starting my own radio, because I mean, a lot of people have podcasts, they do streaming services, but to start a whole 24 hours a day, 7 hour or 24/7 radio station, a lot of people are like, okay, I can get classic rock anywhere. What makes you different? And I allowed them to ask that question before, you know, but to your point, and I think this is very interesting, you got to stick to what your game plan is. And again, we talk about mission statements and everything. You can't just go out there and say, listen, I'm just going to do a classic rock station, because there are 1,000 different classic rock stations. Ultimately, though, I felt like I could do it better than the ones that everyone else is listening to without poo-pooing on everyone else. And I'm proving that with that pudding, and that being the content like Mission Minded and the Austin Hank Show and shows like that through Spotify. And so I've tried to do a little bit of it all. And eventually people start seeing and hearing that difference, and it works out pretty well. So great email questions. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead, and leave your email questions. You can also go to Spotify. There's a chat area on there, too. You can leave email questions on Spotify at Tony Curry Radio right there on our podcast platform. And, of course, you can hear Mission Minded with Michael Coleman every Wednesday, a first-run show here at noon and seven. All right, so you sent me this interesting article, and I love this, about effective leadership and the essential qualities that go along with that. And this particular woman who wrote this article talked about sensitive strivers. First of all, what is a sensitive striver?
Well, it's somebody who is plenty bright, plenty smart, understands, has the ability to take in all aspects of a problem. But oftentimes then can't pull the trigger on a decision. And I have, I've always labeled this problem as paralysis through analysis.
Yeah.
And I have personally had this issue come up with me with a board member who, I present a bold vision, and one of the roles of the board is to make sure that any vision that a director, executive director is bringing in, make sure it fits with what they're currently doing, you know, but may expand, that there's the finances for it, that there's the demand in the community. I mean, the board is there to ask tough questions and bring accountability. So they're only fulfilling their role when they do that. However, when you go through a problem and you analyze it and you do a risk assessment, you take all those things into consideration, but you're just ultimately afraid to pull the trigger because you're afraid of making a mistake or some other things, then what ends up happening is you stop momentum, you squelch individualism in the sense of not individual like I'm doing my own thing, but for people to aspire to want to move forward and be creative. Creativity is really what you're squashing, and it can kill an organization, because if you feel like, hey, I've got this great idea, but anything I do, it just takes forever to get through a process, and and I have to push and push and push and push, and then they chip away at it, and then so you can really demotivate people, and that's exactly what you don't want in your organization. Now, when I say that, people are then say, oh, well, then, I've been accused many times of moving too quickly. And so there's the argument on the other side that it is possible that you get excited about an idea, you think it through, you think you've thought of everything, and then you move forward. But you haven't thought of everything. And this is my pushback on that. You're never going to get into a situation where you're going to know and be able to anticipate every possible problem that's out there. So let me give you an example. You create this great vision to move forward. You got to raise $10 million. Well, you can't anticipate that in 2 or 3 years, the country might have a recession. You don't know what the economy is going to be in 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that can happen on the ground. You don't know if all of a sudden there's some sort of scandal inside of your nonprofit, or if another nonprofit comes along that dwarfs your nonprofit. And there's just all these things out there that you cannot anticipate reasonably. And so one of the things I've encouraged people is when you're bold and move forward, yes, you do have to do a risk assessment. One of the ways I choose to do that is involving a lot of people. So I bring my senior staff in and other people who are interested in what happens in the nonprofit. And I share with them my vision, and I kind of process out loud. And I say, well, here's what I'm thinking. Does it make sense to you? Does it inspire you? Does it bring passion up within you that wants to go get involved in this? And if not, tell me why not from your perspective. And so a lot of that, and tell me where you see the obstacles. Tell me where you see the red flags out that I'm blind to because I really want to do this. But when you do that and you're honest about it and you lay all that on the table, you have to have the courage to then say, you know what, I've got to modify this idea, or these objections are good.
Yeah, and real quick, something you do that you've talked about since we started the show months ago here on Mission Minded on Tony Curry Radio. I love your transparency. You are willing to ask, and the fact that you even talked about this woman down in Orange Beach, willing to reach out. I was going to say, do you spy on these other organizations to find out what their faults are, their deficiencies, so you can do it better? It's not about, I mean, if you can do it better, great. But if you really have a common cause and it's a non-for-profit and it's there for the people, it's a serviceable type of charity or non-for-profit, you want to be able to work with other people. And I love the fact, sure. I think a lot of people start businesses. We're not selling beignets here. We're not selling sandwiches. We're not on a for-profit where we're trying to build our business and kick everyone down the street. We're trying to do something that is service community-based. And if you're really willing to do that, I would think you'd have to check your ego at the door, right?
I'm telling you all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't always like that. It's one of the things I had to learn. I had to analyze was this about having the best nonprofit so that I could point to myself and get credit? Or was it truly about how I kind of look at it from a spiritual standpoint, which is kingdom building? And what I've seen is too many nonprofits build their kingdom all right there on their own property. And so there's a moat around them that basically says, everybody else stay away. We're going to do what we do. We do it here. And I think that's a huge mistake, because even though I felt like that I was doing recovery and homeless care better than the other nonprofits, I still thought, well, first of all, they had good hearts. They had good intentions. We didn't see eye to eye on necessarily how to do it the best, but they were still engaged in a fight that I was concerned about, which is ultimately homelessness and addiction. So I want them to be successful. They're not my enemy because we are doing things differently, because we're still fighting, like you said, against that common opponent. And so I would be always willing to come along and say, hey, you know, I love to create win-win situations. And we don't have to be adversaries because we're fighting through, because we're fighting against this common opponent. Now, it's very difficult for people to do that, primarily because it's all about dollars. And people are scared. If I'm partnering with somebody and they find out what you're doing, if they find out you're doing it better, then I may lose my donor dollars to you.
Yep.
Or I may lose my grant dollars to you. So that fear revolving around donations and donors is what keeps people oftentimes in control. People want to have control. And so I've gone into situations with collaborations where I've said, okay, I'm going to be completely honest on the table. I'm willing to bend on a lot of things. However, here's some core issues of what we do that we think are so vital that I can't compromise that. So don't ask me to compromise that. And I won't ask you to compromise your core things. But everything else is open. I will flex, I will bend, I will twist to make you better, to help us be better together. And because the goal is, I'm not fighting against you. You're not my enemy. You're a fellow combatant as we fight this evil out there, and the destruction of the home and destruction and addiction and all the bad things that causes. And so it comes from a right frame of mind that says, I want others around me to be successful.
So there are some strategies here about the cycle of overthinking and actually reacting to those. And I would think that two things that you have to look at is, first of all, the expenditure. Well, what's it going to cost for us to actually implement this idea I have? And also, how long will it take and how many people would it take to bring into fruition? But what are some of the things, the strategies you talk about, the cycle of overthinking and actually reacting to these things and acting on them to make your non-for-profit stronger?
Well, that's kind of what spoke to me in this article. Is the reason I wanted to share it with you and just touch on a few points from the audience of things that I've experienced. And one of the strategies that this article puts forward, that this woman who wrote this, and I think she did a great job, but three of the five that she mentioned really speak to me. And one of it is let go of perfectionism. And it's probably easier for me to speak to this way. I have people in my life who are planners, and I happen to have a daughter who she wants to know what she's going to have for supper 3 nights from now. And if she goes on a trip, we all have to meet at the airport a certain time and flight, and this is what we're going to do. And she has a schedule for every day we're going to be on vacation together. That's just how she's wired. And that serves her very well. But what happens is she gets tense and she gets upset when the plan goes awry. And so we want to create in the community, building a nonprofit or in a program specific way, we want to have that perfect. We want to have every dot, every I dotted and every T cross thinking, that way we can control it. And then what happens is you always find out, it's just like Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the mouth. And the truth of the matter is you cannot plan for everything. It'll never be perfect, but that's okay. Because if you're moving forward, you're gaining ground. You're engaged in the fight. What I would encourage people to do is not go into a situation seeking perfectionism, but seeking maximum flexibility. Because what happens is when you have a good vision and you start moving forward, guess what? You're going to run into one of those unanticipated barriers. Now, that can stop your world. It can stop the whole project. Or you can say, okay, I can't go down this path. How do I get around that? What's the best way around that? And so the more fluid you are, the more flexible you are, the more open you are to other possibilities, then one and two and three problems don't stop you. It simply lets you learn that this can't happen this way, and you're able to navigate around that and continue forward in your pursuit of the service to your community.
What are the, I know there were five different strategies here, but what's another one that kind of piqued your interest a little bit on these overthinkers, because they're all really good?
Yeah. The second one really jumped out is to put the problem in perspective. I have one of the things I told my entire staff everywhere I've worked, I've said, I'll just give you an example back at the Jimmy Hill mission. I said, this mission has been here 78 years. There is no single problem that no single mistake that you're going to make that's going to bring this operation to its knees. So we're not teetering on somebody making a single mistake and worried about it all falling apart. I said, so therefore, move forward boldly. Do not be afraid to make a mistake, and understand that if you do make a mistake, that's fine. We just learn from it, but it's not going to cripple us. So I help them understand that they cannot be afraid to fail, because failure is part of the growth process. And so that goes back to the perfectionism. It's kind of tied together, because if you think, oh, I've got it all figured out. Well, yeah, it goes great as long as everything you have planned fits. But everybody who's experienced life knows that's not how it works. There are going to be problems. There are going to be snafus. And so you have to understand that a problem should not destroy your whole world. Your life in the nonprofit world is about combating problems and coming up with creative ways to combat problems. And there's going to be problems while you're creating problems. So you just have to understand it's part of the process. It can be frustrating. It can be challenging. It can be demoralizing at times. But don't get overwhelmed by failure, because it's definitely going to happen in some capacity. And if you're afraid to fail, and if you can't move outside of perfectionism, and I know people like this, then what you find is their nonprofit's really not having a huge impact, because they basically are stationary, scared to move forward for fear of failure. So if you keep problems in perspective and just understand, you won't be afraid to step out there, because you're like, well, I'm just keeping it in perspective. If I fail, I fail. No big deal. I'll keep moving forward. But that's so hard. I get it. It's not hard for me. I've had a lot of failure in my life. It's not hard for me just because that's how my personality is. I get it's harder for some people. It's easy for me to say it, and it's harder for people to implement it. But I really want to encourage you to take step out in faith. And if you fail in that, that's okay. But don't let it stop you. Got to keep moving forward.
Michael, great show as always. We do it every single Wednesday here live on Tony Kerr Radio at noon and 7. Go to Spotify and listen to all of our previous episodes, much like our young lady friend there from Orange Beach did. We greatly appreciate people listening. And people listen to one, they want to hear all of them. So go to Spotify. You can check all those out. And again, thanks to you and Mission Minded. We'll do it again next week, okay?
Looking forward to it as always.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Kerr Radio.